University of Colorado.
Welcome to See You on the Air, the University of Colorado's podcast. We feature faculty from across CU's four campuses and their interesting, innovative, and sometimes life-changing work.
There's so much we can do as a united system with the regents, the administration, the chancellors, the campuses, all working together, and nurturing that unity will always be a key focus of mine. Those universities that adapt these fast-evolving technologies and delivering their mission, in our case, to teach and research, will prosper, and those that don't will fade.
Welcome to See You on the Air. We're talking today with new University of Colorado President Mark Kennedy, who was named by the Board of Regents on May 2nd to be the 23rd President of the University of Colorado System. Welcome, Mark. We're happy to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Ken.
You were named on May 2nd, and you started officially on July 1st. You've done a lot in between those two dates. Tell us what you've been up to since you were named and since you started in mid-June.
Well, it's been a busy and fun couple of weeks. My focus has been on getting to know this great university and the many people around the state that are contributing to its success. I visited all the regents individually and collectively on multiple occasions, visited each campus at least twice, including meeting with their diversity staffs, met with the faculty, staff, council leaderships, met with other higher education CEOs in the state twice, attended the UC Health Board meeting, met with the governor and every federal representative except one, met with the foundation staff, alumni, donors, and with the team here at the system office and gained invaluable insights from President Benson. So there's more people for me to meet, more CU activities for me to understand, but I continue to work hard to make sure I understand who and what really makes this CU system so special.
And on your first day on the job, impressively, you made it to all four campuses, which is a geographically impressive feat, if nothing else. But you also got some nice tastes of what our campuses do. Can you talk a little bit about that day one?
It's a phenomenal day, and I wish everybody could have followed me, because each campus presented some great things that they were doing, both at the Arts Center at CU Colorado Springs, what they were doing on cyber, as well as the new Hibble Center that's going to help them advance further in sports management and sports medicine, going on to Boulder, where, you know, what we do in space is truly amazing in CU Anschutz. What we're doing on so many fronts to help us amp up our immune system to combat things like cancer, as well as to deal with brain injuries, particularly for our veterans. And at Denver, being one of the top teams in the country to come up with a race that's sponsored by SpaceX, as well as what they're doing to adapt for those with disabilities, the care and treatment that they get. And reaching out to the rural parts of the state to help with educating teachers. Just so many amazing things going on here at CU, and that's just in one day. You know, if you had a second day or third day, you'd even uncover more of the great things. So I'm very much looking forward to spending even more time better understanding those programs and understanding how I and the system office can help to further advance them.
The first 100 days of presidency can set the tone for what's to come. What do you anticipate as you look forward the next couple of months or so?
Well, my plans are to listen and learn during the first 90 days, as I committed to understand each of the four campuses, their excellent programs, what they offer students, their research, the service that they do not only to their own communities, but across the state. But I also want to learn about their challenges and opportunities that they see ahead. And once I've gathered this wide degree of input, I will propose a strategic planning process with the goal of engaging a wide cross-section of the community to develop a shared vision for the future that expands the opportunities that CU generates for our students in our state. There is so much we can do as a united system with the regents, the administration, the chancellors, the campuses, all working together, and nurturing that unity will always be a key focus of mine.
So the campuses have their own strategic plans, but what you're talking about is a broader system strategic plan. What's the value of having that, and how it can support the the campus plans?
Well, I think there's some big, broad issues that we're all facing that we talked about at the recent Regents retreat. And we need to make sure that we're all addressing those in the unique way that each campus brings to it. If you look at the digital revolution, for example, it's compelling universities to review how best we prepare students for the future, where up to half of today's jobs will be automated and more than half of today's students will work at jobs in their lifetime that have not yet been created. And computers are increasingly able to perform high-skilled jobs currently performed by college graduates, like interpreting medical images, doing legal research, analyzing data. I don't know that we fully thought through how much this disruption will increase the need for us to adapt and change to it. And we may find that we have more non-traditional students as they need to prepare for new types of jobs in the future than we have coming out of high school students. Not unlike every other organization, those universities that adapt these fast-evolving technologies in delivering their mission, in our case, to teach and research, will prosper, and those that don't will fade. I mean, that's just one of the big, broad issues that we all face that we need to make sure that we're responding to. The other thing is, if you look at the revenue picture for the university, it remains uncertain, with the level of state funding continuing to be in question, concerns over cost of higher education, constraining tuition, and higher high school graduates expected to peak soon. At the same time that the revenue is uncertain, though, the likelihood of increasing cost is near certain because more of our students are going to need financial aid going forward. We're going to have a need for increased advising and mental health support. A greater share of students are taking the higher cost engineering and science programs, and we're going to need to invest in these new technologies. So that's where I think it's essential that I dialogue with the regents, the chancellors, and others to come up with a process over the next 12 to 18 months. How do we adapt to these trends, and how do we come up with a plan where we can rise in the months and years ahead, responding to these in a way that's outpaces what other universities are doing? That can provide definition long-term to each campus's plan, and I think it will be complementary as opposed to substituting for the great work that the campuses have already done with their own campus strategic plans.
And you touched on the timeline, 12 to 18 months. What do you expect to have in place, say, in a year or so?
I'm going to be bringing a process to the regents in September. I'll meet with the shared governance groups with my proposal for the process ahead of time. But out of that, I would hope that we would have a relatively defined group of action items and metrics that we're trying to achieve. In my world, it would be preferably if that was seven or less. And I would guess that, as I've said to the chancellors, that five or six of those seven, they probably already have metrics in their plans for, so they will help provide definition and direction to those metrics. Some of them might be new. I don't know. I haven't gotten into this campus plans in detail enough to know how much are they adapting to the technology change, artificial intelligence, 5G communications, Internet of Things, deep learning. How much are their plans responding to and hopefully leading the efforts in those regards in terms of both educating the workforce of the future as well as embracing those technologies in the way that we teach and research?
There are a couple of other priorities that the Board of Regents has set for you that I expect will somehow or another make their way into the strategic plan, but if you could address them separately, the first one would be diversity and the second one would be outreach. So how do you see proceeding as far as diversity is concerned?
Well, I think the interesting thing is the regions have two strands of diversity that they've continued to focus on. One is what we traditionally think of a diversity with the very diverse student body that we'll increasingly have at the university. And the second one is what they call diversity of thought. Let me address both of those. At the recent Regents retreat, we presented that since 2009, all of our increase in student enrollment has been amongst less represented minorities and Pell Grant students. if you look at the more traditional white student body, has gone down 1% since 2009. Not because we're not reaching out. That's just the way of the demographics of the state and the nation is evolving. So it is essential for us to fulfill our mission, for us to fulfill the needs of the state and the nation, for us to be reaching out to a wide cross-section of our state. Part of what we need to do is make them feel welcome and included, but that's towards a mission of graduating them. In my mind, the key thing we need to focus on is how do we get them across the stage, hand a diploma to them, set them off on a path towards contributing to not only their own livelihood, but the community in which they live. That's got to be a key focus, and you'll be seeing me moving forward to help make sure that we're guided in that direction. The second piece of it is over half the students are going to work in their lifetime at a job that's not yet been created. The one thing we know they're going to need is going to be critical thinking. You can't have critical thinking without a diverse set of ideas being presented and compared against one another and contrasted and addressed in a very intelligent, thoughtful debate. So having both of those are essential as well. We're going to be launching a climate survey this fall that I hope we do every year. And that climate survey can help pinpoint and target by campus. How are we doing on both of these types of diversity? And what types of steps can we take in order to get better? That's what we're hoping to do on diversity. I'll be having more definitive plans on that coming out here fairly soon.
And you touched on earlier that you plan to travel around the state for some outreach, and not just in Colorado, but beyond. How do you see that shaping up?
Well, I very much look forward to it. You know, we need to engage to not only ensure that our connecting with our students or prospective students in our communities across the state, explore collaborations with colleges to engage local legislators that to better understand the needs of the state, and to highlight the good work that CU is doing around the state. We need to understand their needs. They need to understand even better all the great work we're already doing, and I think we'll even do more of. Our research collaborations extend across the country. Our alumni extend across the country and the globe, frankly. And we are very much a national and international leader in higher education. It's important for us to connect there. So I'm pleased. I've been to D.C. for the Capitol Conference and got to meet a lot of good Coloradan leaders as part of that. I've been to Grand Junction already, looking to head to Fort Morgan this week, to Pueblo next week, to Durango in a few weeks, and more outreach to come. And I think that just increasing those ties between CU and our many good friends and collaborators across the state, across the country, will only strengthen and elevate the university. This is a big, diverse state from the eastern plains to the western slope. I've had a chance to get a glimpse of it. We drove in, brought our car out from the Midwest, so we saw the eastern plains, which look a lot like North Dakota. And we had a chance to get the Grand Junction, so seeing the western slope and the mountains are truly breathtaking. I think people were surprised how many pictures I was taking as we were driving along, just because you don't get to see this type of natural beauty. We're used to beautiful lakes in Minnesota, but the mountains, you know, mountain removal project in Minnesota and North Dakota is complete. So we are looking forward to reaching out to the good people in each corner of the state as part of our outreach efforts.
You and your wife, Debbie, are... Yeah, I know you've spent a fair amount of time in Colorado, but this is your new home, and you will be getting out and around the state. But what strikes you most about what you've seen about Colorado thus far and the people you've met?
Well, Denver is a great city. Colorado is a beautiful state filled with wonderful people. One of the things that struck us the most is how people love and admire CU across the state, even if they haven't gone to CU. Even some of the CSU alums are willing to admit that they have a lot of respect for CU, as we do for CSU, of course, as well. One of the things in the university that struck me is I knew CU was active in research, but until you have a chance to witness the scale and the scope of what we do in research face-to-face, it's hard to appreciate its magnitude and its impact, you know, but we saw it space in Boulder, in healthcare on every campus, especially at Anschutz, what we're doing with urban planning at Denver, and at cyber at Colorado Springs, just to name a few. We very much enjoyed that and look forward to getting to know the state even further in the weeks and months ahead.
When you were going through the selection process, I think it's fair to say it was a bit of a crucible, and what were your takeaways from that process?
Well, you know, first of all, as it relates to the process used at CU for my selection was identical to that used just weeks before for the new president of CSU Fort Collins without controversy. So I'm not sure it was the process itself. While I appreciate the passion of those with whom I engage in the open forums who share my commitment to be a university that embraces diversity and inclusion and one that respects academic freedom and free speech, it would have been great if we had more time to talk about some of those big issues I just talked about. How does the university adapt to the seismic technological changes disrupting the workforce and higher education? How do we deal with the financial pressures caused by the rising costs but constrained revenues? So it would have been great to have more time to chat about those topics, but certainly those are the pressing items, in addition to make sure that we're a university for all, that'll continue to be our focus in the weeks and months ahead.
And it seems like, from what you've said, there's many people who want to join you and get about the business of moving the university forward.
You know, I'm going to be continually reaching out to embrace everybody on campus and making sure that we're adding to the people that want to join in that effort. You will see me reaching out to the collaborative governance bodies, defending academic freedom, and working diligently to unify the extended community, because I do believe that we have many pressures on us. It's really only together with a unified vision that we're going to be able to navigate all these waves of change in a way that elevates our impact on our students, our state, and our nation.
Obviously, the job of University of Colorado president is a huge, complicated job, a $4.8 billion enterprise, four campuses, as you mentioned, incredible research, all manner of things going on. Your background in business and in government and in education has prepared you well for that. How do you translate those experiences into your role as president?
Well, first of all, you don't do anything yourself. You do it with a team and a team of teams, with the campus teams, with the college teams, the department teams, all the way up to the system team and the region team. So business experience helps you with the organization, a little leadership that is necessary to align and unify those teams in a common direction. Clearly, the public and the broader community is also vital in this process. And so the idea of reaching out to the public that you get from a political background, including the legislature and the governor and all the entities like the State Board of Higher Education and the other universities, but even beyond that, alumni, friends, businesses that care deeply about the talent and the research that we're turning out. And then finally, you need to do this with the heart of academics at your center, of understanding our mission is unique, that we teach, we discover, we serve, and that all of this organizational alignment and engagement needs to be towards advancing those missions. So I've often thought to myself, it's inconceivable to me how you effectively lead a university, certainly a university of the scale and scope of the University of Colorado, without having all three of those experiences. So I look forward to applying myself as best as I can to work with the broader CU community to move us forward.
You mentioned you've been talking with a lot of people in the past several weeks and months, and you've also been doing an amount of reading about the university and its history. What stands out for you and maybe surprises you about what you've learned about CU?
Well, you know, building a university, just like a building, begins with identifying the firm foundation upon which you build. And for a university, it's understanding that heritage of the institution, what led to its achievements and its vaunted status it enjoys today. It's important to stay true to those strengths, so you got to figure out what they are. I began by reading the University of Colorado 1876 to 1976, written by five university professors for CU Centennial. And one of the couple of things that struck me is that clearly this strength of the university hasn't rested on strong state funding. Each chapter of the book talks about funding shortfalls from the state. In 1913, over a century ago, only three states spent less in support of their universities. We've gone backwards one, now we're down to only two states providing
less. Negative progress, you gotta love it.
So we see if we can't revert that and get up to, you know, having three states behind us in the future again. But what I believe has been consistent and the source of CU's strength is that the university has always kept a keen focus on the needs of the state and the nation and adapted to address those needs. You know, as you read through the history, amazingly, the medical school was started in 1883. That was a long time ago for medical schools. The law school, 1892, graduate programs in 1893, and then the other colleges added over the decades that followed. But also, we were aware of the needs and adapted. For example, when University of Denver's financial difficulties prevented them from continuing to maintain their medical school, in 1910, we absorbed it. During World War II, we partnered with the Navy to help in training, and when the federal government began evacuating citizens of Japanese ancestries from the West Coast, we admitted their sons and daughters and assumed the Japanese language school from Berkeley. So you've constantly seen this observing what's going on. We've adapted our pedagogy. We've entered new programs to meet the evolving needs of the state and nation. It's that type of history and heritage that I think we continue to build on today, and I would hope to build on with the strategic plan.
You're a first-generation college graduate in your family. Your wife is as well. How does that experience inform how you think about opportunities for students?
Well, it drives our passion because the doors that have been unlocked for me because I have a college degree have been amazing. And it would be hard to imagine how different my life would have been had I not had encouragement from my family to be the first boy in my family to graduate from college, and had not Debbie's father responded to her request that she wanted to go to college and supported her efforts in that regard. So we want to extend those same opportunities to a wider cross-section of our state and our nation. And for many of them, they hadn't thought that college was for them. So we need to just unlock that desire and that belief that they can do it within them, and then need to make sure that they not only get to college, but they graduate from college. So for me, you will hear me talk about graduation rates and helping to make sure we bring them across to the finish line over and over again, because in all of our lives, we know people that have grown up with us in high school that have only gotten partway through college and haven't had the same opportunities that those of us who have completed a degree have done. So that is part of what that experience really animates within me.
And you mentioned that you and Debbie have either been together or talk with each other nearly every day since you've been married. You're quite a team, but tell us a little more about how she will support you and work with you, and tell us a little bit about your family as well.
Well, family for us has always been first, and Debbie, formerly a teacher, so education has always been a part of it, a part of her life, part of all of our lives. We have four great kids. They are now grown. At one point, up until recently, my oldest son, a Navy pilot, was an instructor pilot, and at that point, all four children worked in education. Our son is married to a fellow alum of his from Notre Dame, but she got her graduate degree from University of Colorado Denver in landscape design. They just had their first child here in the recent weeks. And for their next stage of deployment, he'll be going out to Japan, flying aboard the USS Ronald Reagan based out of Tokyo Harbor. Then we have our second oldest is married to a fellow Notre Dame alum. He started up the largest online industrial supplier in Brazil. And so we have two grandsons in Brazil and a third grandchild there on the way, a granddaughter. My daughter is a manager at PricewaterhouseCoopers, but then is now working half-time for University of Notre Dame, extending their outreach in the country of Brazil. Our second daughter, works for a nonprofit with their fundraising database to help them bring programs to junior highs and high schools on respect and courage. And our youngest son is a teacher who's married to a lawyer that they have two wonderful daughters live in Minneapolis. So we've got four great kids. Debbie and I, whenever we have a chance, that's where we devote our energies outside of work. But Debbie has always been involved with me in my activities. At universities, she's got her master's in fine arts costume design and very much enjoys working with the theater and helping whatever we can. But as you can imagine, there are multiple events that a president of university does that Debbie is at the heart and at the center of all of those. So reaching out to the community and making sure that we're fully embracing their views and making them feel welcome, connecting with our alumni and donors and making sure that they know how much we appreciate everything they do for the university. Those are the things you'll see Debbie at the very center of, as she has been for the last several years and will be going forward.
With all those Notre Dame connections, I'm sensing a distinct Irish bias.
Well, there is an Irish bias, but being a Michigan grad myself, of course, we have a little bit of conflict in the family. Debbie calls herself the DMZ zone because my younger daughter is also a Michigan grad. So we have multiple Domers and multiple Wolverines in the family.
And I think they're on the football schedule against each other this year. So we'll stay away from your household that day.
That would be a good thing to do. We'll be rooting for the Buffs.
Good answer. You're going to be working when you're out and around the state, but you'll also get a chance to explore a little. Is there anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing in Colorado?
Well, we've already seen a lot in Colorado. We've been to one Rockies game, been to one play, been to a few restaurants here in the area, driven across parts of the state, but our focus is really enjoying all that the university and the state has to offer. We look forward to going to more plays, more of the sports programs at CU and at the state professionals programs, and trying to see as many restaurants and dine at as many of the great restaurants they have here at Denver and across the state. So we went to the museum this weekend to see the Leonardo da Vinci exhibit at the Nature and Science Museum, but we're one that just want to put our roots down deep in Colorado and get to know everything Denver and the state of Colorado has to offer and fully embrace and help to advance it to the extent we can.
We talked about how this job can be consuming, and you just touched on a little bit of it, but what do you do to relax? What do you do for fun?
I love my work in higher education and helping guide CU to an even more impactful future. So for me, fun can be working. You know, if you enjoy what you're doing,
really?
If you enjoy what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And I've worked at jobs that I haven't enjoyed, but I have been enjoying being here at CU. But as I mentioned, for me, fun begins with family, and visiting those four kids and our six grandkids is the biggest thrill. And it will be a top priority for us. And given that one of them's in Japan and one of them's in Brazil, that'll even require a little bit more time. I have a lot of friends from around the world and around the country. So getting a chance whenever I have a chance to get to London or Madrid or Hong Kong or Tokyo or Shanghai or Istanbul, where I have friends, many of them multi-decade friends that I like to keep up with. Debbie and I love theater and musical performance and look forward to attending as many CU productions as we can and many of the ones here in the city and around the state. We very much enjoy sports. I was a seven-time letterman in high school, active in intramurals in college. So we will be amongst CU's biggest fans. And finally, I love to read. I'm a history buff. But I love to read, research, and write on foreign policy even more. And more recently, I've been consumed with better understanding the technological waves that are buffeting all of us. So this is a great century in which to live. Colorado is a great state in which to experience it. We have fun 24/7, whether at work or the many activities we enjoy.
Well, it sounds like you have plenty to occupy your time. University of Colorado President Mark Kennedy is our guest today, and President Kennedy, we appreciate having you here today, and we wish you all the best in your presidency.
Thanks so much, Ken. Look forward to engaging more broadly with the community.
The University of Colorado comprises four campuses: Boulder, Colorado Springs, Denver, and the CU Anschutz Medical Campus in Aurora. To learn more about CU, go to www.cu.edu. Thanks to our producer, Kathy Buten, and audio engineer, John Arnold. I'm Ken McConnellog, and we'll see you on the air next month.
University of Colorado.